You stand, please. Our Heavenly Father, we stand before your presence this morning in awe of you. Father, there is thankfulness that wells up within our hearts for your visitation. There is praise that issues forth from our mouths and our hearts for your goodness to us. Father, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Father, for how you have moved upon your people. Lord, it is a privilege to walk with you. Father, we know that we are not always as obedient as we should be. But Lord, we know that you see our hearts. You see that there is that deep desire within to be a child of yours, to grow and develop into the maturity that you have in mind for those that desire it. Our Father, may that be the deep desire of every one of our hearts, that we might grow in thee, that we might be clothed in Christ. Father, that his nature would become our nature. And Lord, that we would walk in that circumspect way that you have been talking to us about, even in these meetings and over these many years. Father, we commit this service to you. May all that is said, may all that is done be to your honor and to your glory. For surely thou art deserving of all of that. Bless us together. Anoint us with fresh oil from the throne this morning. We need your power in this last hour. In thy precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Before we do some singing this morning, I would just like to say a few words and read a few scriptures so you can be seated. I wonder if you're going to be able to identify with some of the things that I'm going to say here in a very brief way this morning. How much are we governed by our feelings? It is hard to do what we don't feel like doing. The things I like to do, I have no trouble to do. But I drag my feet when I would sooner not do what I know I should do. I was at one service in the Tin Tabernacle. This is a group of people that what's the word for it when you don't exist any longer? extinct, kind of an extinct group. There are still a few people here who have attended services in the Tin Tabernacle. Isn't that right, Merv? Irene, isn't that right? There we got people. One service for me. I don't want to really dwell on that service, nor could I dwell on it, because I don't remember one thing that ever happened in it. Well, I shouldn't say that, because I'm going to tell you one thing that happened. There was a whole lot of praise, and I thought, these people, if they are not insane, they're very close to it. I couldn't wait to get out of there. When the last amen was said, I was gone like a shot out of a cannon. It didn't do one thing for me. But you see, I was governed by my feelings. I was governed by how I felt about it. I knew nothing about it. I'd never seen that before. Is it strange that I would feel that way? I don't think so. But I'm not going to tell you the story. But now I try to get people to praise. It doesn't bother me at all. It uplifts me. When I do it myself, I find there's a joy there because God meets you in the praise that you issue from your lips. Because the scripture says that he dwells in the praises of his people. Hallelujah. What a change. What a difference when God comes, when the Spirit of the Lord comes, and he anoints that you might see that you are to praise him. I'm not saying that it is always easy. I don't always find it easy even today. But I know what God has said. And I know that I must do what God has said that I should do. You see, brethren and sisters, this is part of our growth. This is a growth experience that we are on. This is a growth journey that we are on. It is not staying where we are. It is not stagnancy. It is going on, as we heard last night. It is moving on in Christ, not in our own ways, not according to our own thinking, not according to the way that seems right unto a man, the end thereof being death. We move on by the Spirit of the Lord that moves us on. And what he wants from me and you is to follow his leading. We can choose to do what he asks of us, or we can choose not to do it. The choice is yours. We can choose to find time for praise and thanksgiving, or we can find other things to do that will not contribute to our growth. One of the things that God has instructed us to do is to praise him. There's a secret here, brothers and sisters. There is a secret here that I don't know that we have entered into the fullness that is there for us. Because praise is something you can do anytime. Well, you say, well, you know, when I'm out in the, wherever I am, you know, it's not going to be very easy for me to praise the Lord. Praise Him in your heart. Speak in tongues in your heart. That's communication with God. That's communing with God. No one has to know. No one has to hear. You and God are entering into a relationship, into a praise with Him. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. The Bible is replete with examples of praise. I dare say that you could open your Bible just about anywhere and you'll find a verse that talks about praise. So, which ones have I chosen? I could keep you here all morning choosing to read scriptures on praise. I just chose a few. Psalm 143, 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. You know, you'll notice that the scriptures that I have chosen speak a lot about the morning. And so I wanted to lead a service in the morning. And you know what? I'm not a morning person. I've seen a few sunrises in my life. As I simply wasn't awake. So who am I to be speaking about praising God in the morning? You can praise God any time. But there is something kind of special about the morning. Hallelujah. So it says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. What better time to lift up your soul? What better time than to get some knowledge of the way in which you should walk that day than in the morning? The whole day stretches before you. 24 hours are before you. We want to be in the center of His will every day. Every day. Not part of the day, but all of the day. Psalm 5:3. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. What is the scripture saying? When you look up, what draws nigh? Your redemption draweth nigh. Praise the Lord. Wasn't it Brother Dennis that talked about looking sideways and looking back and so on? And looking up is where there's deliverance. Look to the hills from whence cometh your help. That's just another way of saying, look to the Lord from whence cometh your help. Lamentations 3:23. The mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, it's just another morning. Same old stuff. The phone will ring. Same porridge Irene every morning. And I'll fix it up with what I want on it. Oh no. He is new. Every morning. You know something that you have heard before doesn't mean that to hear it again it's old. It can be brand new. We had a service in North Battleford the other day, on Sunday morning, that told us to lay our burdens down. Lay your burden down. I am the burden bearer. Cast your cares on me, for I care for you. It was new to me because it touched my heart. That's why. Had I heard it before? Hundreds of times. But that morning, it did something for me that it hadn't done before. It's new every morning. Psalm 59, 16 and 17. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. In the day of my trouble, you have been my defense. You have been my refuge. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of mercy. Hallelujah. Are you ready to sing? Now, I've done it again. I've chosen a song of which I do not know the words. But you're used to that now from me. So that's an expectation that you have of me. But the song is this, and I know some of you know it. Before I go there, one more scripture. I think I gave you this maybe not specifically, but I mentioned it. Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Be ye holy as I am holy. That word Israel there refers to us. He lives, he dwells, he inhabits the praises of his people. Now this song, these songs have lifting power. There's power in praise. God's nearness comes with praise, for he dwells in the praises of his people. This song, I will praise him in the morning when the earth is damp with dew. I will praise him in the noontime and in the evening too. I will praise him, you see, in the stillness of the night. That's in there somewhere. How many know it? Singers? Some of you young people? Some of you singers? Come. Help. Amen.
praise him in the morning when the earth is down with dew. We'll praise him in the
We're not doing too well. Could someone bring me these words? All right. Will someone speak these words? It's in there, Brian. It's in there. I didn't think we had one in there. I will praise him in the morning when the earth is damp with dew. I will praise him in the noontime and in the evening too. I will raise my hands before him in the stillness of the night. In his presence will I praise him when the sun is shining bright. You need it? Praise the Lord. You know, oftentimes when I wake up at night, the first thing that comes to my mind is I'm worried that I can't get back to sleep. And maybe that isn't what the Lord has in mind. Maybe I woke up for a reason. Maybe I need to praise him. Maybe I need to remember someone in prayer that's going through a difficult time. Maybe I need to be more in tune to the Spirit of God when things happen, and I say, well, this is a problem that I've got to deal with. And maybe it's not a problem at all. Maybe God is trying to show me something. Maybe God wants me to do something. Maybe God wants to move me on in growth in His kingdom. I would like us to sing In the Quiet of the Morning. You'll find this one on page 32 in the back of your red book. In the Quiet of the Morning. Notice here again where when we start the day with the Lord, that presence remains through the day. That's why it's a good idea to begin the day with the Lord in the quiet of the morning. I will worship your name. I will lift my voice with singing to praise you again. For it fills my heart with gladness. And that remains through the entire day. In the quiet of the morning, I will worship your name. Have you ever woken up as Sister York said the other night, a song on your heart? Now, I don't have new songs come to me, but songs that I know will come to my heart. You know, they will stay there for the whole day. I'll go around singing that song for the whole day. You know, I like that because God is impressing something pretty significant on my heart that's in that song, and He wants me to just pay some attention to it, to the words of it, to the melody of it. It just stirs your innermost being. Let's sing that again. Maybe we could pick the tempo up a little bit.
Thank you.
counting your blessings lately? Or are you counting your problems? You know, there's a couple of things you can do, isn't it? You can count your blessings or you can count your problems. Was it I read somewhere? Don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. Yes. Praise God. Let's count our blessings and name them one by one. And it will be surprising what the Lord has done. Are we going to sing that? Why not? The last line, I don't always agree with everything that's in a song, but this last line kind of bothers me a little bit, not about the comfort part, but about the journey's end. I don't think there is any end. We have but a foretaste of what is ahead of us.
Amen.
We speak of this being an end because you see, as human beings, we look at beginnings and we look at endings, don't we? Here's a job to do, here's where it starts, and here's where I'm going to be finished it, and here's where I'm going to unload it. God really isn't so interested in unloading things. He just moves on. He just moves from this point to that point. He moves us along until he has us where he really wants us, where he can really carry us into the thing and the glorious things that are ahead of us. Heaven is an end? I doubt it. Heaven's just another beginning. And who, we really don't know what's after that. But I think God is going to have work to do. Why not? You know, he didn't put Adam in the garden to do nothing. To sit around there and kind of just enjoy himself. I'm sure he did that. Enjoyed himself, that is. But he said, tend the garden. Look after it. That's work. You know anything about gardens? I do. Because I'm the laborer. That is when my back isn't too bad. It's work. And he was in a garden. He was in a beautiful garden, but it apparently needed some work once in a while. It needed to be tended to. God has a lot in mind for his people that we think of being an ending when it is but a beginning and it is going on to the glories that he has in mind and that are before us. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Israel marching.
And to bring to an end the reign of man, and to bring in the fullness of the glorious kingdom of God. O my people, saith the Lord, separate thyself anew unto me, separate thy heart, separate thy family, separate thy church, and come unto me in a new way, for the battle is beginning to rage, and you must be not tainted with Babylon, for surely the fall of it shall be great, and the destruction complete, saith the Lord. But in the camp of the living God shall not the church arise in its glory, and in its beauty, saith the Lord. Shall not the bride be pure and holy, completely separate, and not contaminated, but it has come through the blood of Christ, through great trials and tribulations, and is being made perfect, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Joshua spoke before Jericho, yea, he shall proclaim his truth. Yea, and the truth shall slay the nations, saith the Lord. Yea, the captain of the host is among thee, saith the Lord. Yea, be thou encouraged, and be thou strong and courageous, saith the Lord. yea, and take up the sword of the word, yea, and enter in, saith the Lord, into thy armor, saith the Lord, and do battle according to your ministry.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Changed. Your unbelief shall be turned into belief, saith the Lord. And you shall know that I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what I have prepared for those that love me, saith the Lord. You shall know, and you shall be encouraged, and you shall be lifted up as you offer that sacrifice of praise. And in the morning shall the peace of God not flow out from me over all your heart and life, over all you do, over all of your family, saith the Lord. Not a peace that's imposed by the rule of man, not a peace imposed by force, but a living well, a living water that flows, for billows of peace shall flow from your being, saith the Lord, to bring you strength and peace, and give you thanksgiving, saith the Lord, and hope, saith the Lord. Flow, thou people of the Lord, in the river of God. Flow, thou, saith the Lord, and let the Lord change your heart to be his heart, saith the Lord your God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And not to dwell in the realm of the world, my people. This walk is of the realm of the Spirit. See the things in the Spirit, my people. Do not believe your eyes. Believe me. Believe in my leading, my people. Do not walk by sight, but walk by faith, my people. I am the one who has called you and will lead you and accomplish in you the purpose I've called. My people, be strong, I say unto you. Be courageous, my people, I say unto you. Stand firm, my people, I say unto you. I will lead you, my people. I have made you the light of the world. From the darkness I called you. Therefore, my people, do not be discouraged. Do not fear. You are of a different realm, my people.
Yea, as victors, yea, for you are born victors, saith the Lord. Yea, because thou art born again in me, saith God. Now therefore, think thou not upon the power of the enemy, saith the Lord. For that is the power of the passing, saith God. Yea, it is even a leaf hanging on in the first shred of winter, saith God. Yea, but my strength in thee shall be as a great stone that shall never be removed, saith the Lord. Yea, and upon this stone in thy life have I founded a new creation, saith the Lord. Yea, I hear thou the falling of my sword, saith the Lord. Yea, for I have conquered and slain Babylon within thee, saith the Lord. Yea, even as the death throes of Babylon and the world have come, saith the Lord. Yea, even so shall I slay the old man within thee, saith God. Yea, and there shall be a new creation, saith God. For it has been ordained from the beginning of time until now, saith the Lord. Yea, there shall be no spot or wrinkle, saith the Lord. There shall be no flaw, saith God, in my creation. Yea, for I will have a perfect church, saith God. Yea, for this is how much I love thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I say unto thee, let thy walls be fortified this day, saith the Lord.
Yea, let thy gates be lifted, let thy doors stand strong, saith the Lord. Yea, enter ye in, my people, yea, through the gates, with thanksgiving. Stand in my courts, yea, and give praise unto the Lord thy God. For yea, I have gathered thee together, saith the Lord, yea, in a new and a living way, yea, into my holy city, Jerusalem. I have called thee as a people, yea, as a refuge for the nations. Yea, throw open thy doors, saith the Lord, that they may flow into thee, saith thy God. For yea, thou art a city of refuge. Thou art a city the world can flow into, saith the Lord. Prepare ye, make the way ready, saith the Lord. For yea, redeemers shall flow forth from Mount Zion, yea, even unto the ends of the earth, saith thy God.
Spirit of discouragement, guard your hearts against a spirit of bitterness. Guard your hearts against a spirit of dissension. I ask you, did not the children of Israel get bogged down in the wilderness? Did they not get bogged down in their squabbles and in their concerns of Egypt when they had already been brought out? And they had already seen the miraculous, and they already had the promised land in front of them. Did they not all also, when they saw the promised land, get bogged down by fear? I say to you this day, be encouraged. I say by my spirit, I have here a spirit of encouragement. I have a spirit of encouragement. You do not need to try to fight the battle on your own against discouragement, against bitterness, against dissension. But I say to you, I am here, and I am encouragement. I am comfort. I am love. I am peace that passes all understanding, that passes all human comprehension, all human efforts. I am the miraculous, and I am here, and I am working, and I am changing this circumstance.
Praising me when the sun is shining and the morn is rising. But yea, I say unto you, learn to praise me when you stand in darkness. Learn to praise me when you face Goliath. For yea, I say unto you, I want a submissive people. And the only way you can praise me when you face Goliath is to completely trust me and to put your hand in mine. And yea, together we will go forth, and yea, we will conquer, because that is my plan. Oh, my little ones, be thankful and praise me at all times.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My people, saith the Lord, have I not given unto thee tools? Have I not shown you the way that you can take me with you all the day long? For when you do praise me, even as been said, I will come and dwell in your praises. And when you praise me throughout the day, when you walk with me throughout the day, am I not with you? My people, this is not a walk that you will walk by yourself. But this is a walk, saith the Lord, that you will walk with me. For I will dwell with thee, I will walk with thee, I will be in you. And the light that will shine forth from you shall be bright. My people, I say unto thee, darkness cannot stand light. It will run from light, saith the Lord. For you are children of the light. You are children of the living God, and my spirit does dwelleth within thee. But lo, I say unto thee, it may seem a small thing to you to praise me, yea, to begin your day with your mind upon me. But lo, that even as my word is declared, I shall be with thee. I shall lead thee, I shall guide thee. Yea, I shall cause thee, yea, to perform that which I have given unto thee to perform. And it shall be marvelous in thine eyes, for thou hast not seen yet that which shall be accomplished by my church when she begins to function, yea, and do that which I am telling it to do. My people, I am the Lord thy God. I love you, and I have given thee tools, yea, that you can do, yea, that will cause my spirit to constantly be upon you, that you may be led by me, saith the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated.
Elaine Price and Nancy, would you come? Joe Zilke, if you could help us with a microphone at the piano. This was a song that was on our hearts. The Lord laid it on our hearts 2 days ago, and we hope that it would be a blessing to you. God has been speaking to us along these lines, these last few meetings, of the shelter that we can find in his tabernacle. Shelter that we can find in him. In a world that can be so hostile, in a world that can be so scary, we can go in to his shelter and find the protection and the comfort and the nurture that we need. Not one of us has been abandoned. Instead, we have been brought in to him. Praise God. The words of this chorus want you to join us. When the oceans rise and the thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know that you are God.
Still know you are. We stand in your glorious praise. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know you are God.
Let's sing that again.
When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you.
Brother Holt, would you come, please?
You ever wonder why the Lord has us sing? Why he puts the singers out ahead of the army? We are celebrating the victory before the battle is fought. There is no doubt about the outcome. Amen. There's just been a few things stirring in my heart as this camp has been approaching. Some of the things that I've just felt are things that we have been taught before, things that we know, but there is, as we go over and read some of these scriptures, there's just different aspects of that the Spirit just seems to emphasize. And we'd just like to walk through these things. We can't help but feel, even in a camp like we're in this morning, that this is not only a very critical hour. As we were listening to the prophecies this morning, as the Lord has been speaking to us, it's not only a very critical hour, but we are not standing still. This work is being brought into the fulfillment of his word, and we are fitting into our place in his purpose. and we are not standing still. I'm just thinking this morning, you know, if you do any flying and you're in the airports, you see these sidewalks, you can just stand there and they just move you along. Well, that's not very representative of walking in the Spirit. You have to walk the road. The Lord has set before us a way for us to walk, and it requires of us that we walk where He's leading. He is the Good Shepherd, and He is leading the way, but there is a pressing in and an entering in to that which is before us. Even in like the service this morning, as the Spirit of the Lord began to move here in prophecy, there's a standing up and an entering into the flow of His Spirit. And by that, we are strengthened and we are edified and we take steps ahead into the way that the Lord has set before us. Amen. Praise God. Just reading the last little while about the ministry of Jesus and his ministry on earth. And he came to minister there in the nation of Israel at the time appointed to open the door and to set before his body the way for us to walk and to enter in. And I'd just like to read to you from Luke this morning, Luke 4, 14 to 20. And this was after he had been fasting for 40 days. You know that account, how Jesus fasted in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 days. And you know that was a very, for the human aspect, that was a process that really brought the human element down. 40 days is a long time to fast. It would bring you close to the limits of your body. And he fasted there. And after that was completed, it says this is Luke 4 and 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And there went out from him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And we are walking in that today. The ministry of the church is one and the same as the ministry of Christ. We are fitting into that same ministry. And the time for that, the time when he closed the book, he said, "This day, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears?" This was the time for these things to be fulfilled. This is the time for these things to be fulfilled, for that ministry to be fulfilled. You know, there were many years had gone by since Isaiah had prophesied that. He stood there just like we heard here this morning. The word of prophecy go forth. Some of the things that we heard this morning are for a time yet to come. But when they are spoken, they are as though they have already taken place. There is no question about them. Those things will unfold exactly as the Lord has set them out. And as the word of Isaiah had gone forth and talked about all of that deliverance coming to pass, Jesus stood in the midst of that people and he said, "This day is that fulfilled." And that day has not ended. We are walking in it today, the fulfillment of those things today. That has opened up and opened up, and we are walking in that according to his pattern and according to his will. You know, let me read this for you. The disciples, as they walked with Jesus, he selected his 12, and as they walked with him, they saw this work at hand. They witnessed that work of the Lord taking place. They saw the blind eyes opened. He heard the word of the Lord ministered. They saw that authority at work. And they were witnesses of that. And the Gospels that are written are a record of what they witnessed. They recorded what they had witnessed. But you know, as they walked with him, they were not really participants in that. They were witnesses of what took place, but they were not really participants in that. And when Jesus went to the cross, they were devastated by that. They thought all of their hopes and everything that they had heard him say, all of these promises, they felt that at that time, that when Christ came to the nation of Israel, they thought, this is the time when he will sit upon the throne of David and rule and be the fulfillment of those prophecies. And when he was put to death and crucified, they were devastated by that. And I remember reading this not so long ago and just kind of reading through those events and thinking, you know, I think if I was in their shoes, I would feel exactly the same way. You know, all of their hopes, they watched. It took a whole day while Jesus was crucified, and all of their hopes, they witnessed that. They witnessed him being put to death. The reality of it was that not one part of that was out of place. That was coming into place exactly according to the will and the pattern and the purpose of the Lord. Nothing was out of place. And when they were there in such, I guess you'd say a depressed state, and visiting amongst themselves, some had gone to the tomb and they came back with a message and they said, you know, there's no one there. There's a couple of angels there, and they said, Christ is arisen. And they were disturbed by that. And two of them were traveling on the way to Emmaus. And as they were walking there, Jesus came and walked with them and began to reveal to them what had really taken place. And our thinking, we might kind of have a concept in our minds or in our thoughts, you know, how this is all going to take place. But in reality, we don't know. In reality, the Spirit of the Lord has to open the way to us and reveal the truth of it to us. When we hear the words of prophecy, when we hear things being taught by the anointing of the Spirit, he is giving us a glimpse into the way that those things will unfold. And as the disciples, as the two of the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, Jesus came and walked with them and began to reveal to them what had really just transpired. The Lord had a bigger plan. The Lord had a greater plan. He had his purpose was much more vast and much more complete than Jesus coming and sitting on the throne of David at that time. He had come to fulfill the full and the whole purpose of his Father. He wanted his people not to be observers of his works. He wanted his people to be participants in his work. Amen. And when Jesus was walking with them, and you know the story, you're familiar with that story, how they walked into the city of Emmaus, and they sat down and they persuaded him to come and join them for a meal. And when he blessed the food, they recognized who it was. And they knew, they recognized him. And he told them, he said, you go to Jerusalem and you stay there until you be endued with power from above. There was a purpose in the work that had just taken place. He didn't say, you know, you go to Jerusalem and be filled with the Spirit and just speak with tongues and know the blessing of having the Spirit within you. He said, you go and you be endued with power from above so that you too are able to do the work that is before you. That work that is before us is unfolding today. We are participants in that work. It is a work with the power and the authority of the Spirit behind it. You know, when the Lord speaks these things to us, he has already set in place the things that are necessary for that to be fulfilled. And we are walking in it. We are entering into it today. He has imparted his Spirit to us so that we can do that work that is set before us. We can open the doors of the prison house. We can heal the blind eyes. We can minister his word to the hungry. We can walk in the truth of his kingdom. We are participants in that. I'll just read that passage to you. This is from Luke 24 about walking on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24:45-49. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. That was the purpose. That was the purpose. He bore our sins there. We can come and accept that into our life and be cleansed from all of those things, no matter what our circumstances are. He said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. No matter what the circumstances of an individual that comes across your path, and I appreciate it. This is not my area of ministry, but I appreciate working with brethren whose ministry it is, that somehow just draws all manner of men and women, just kind of reaches out and makes that contact and draws them in. And you know, it doesn't matter what their circumstances are, you can give them that same message. It doesn't matter what the past has been, you can give them that message, and they can leave the past behind and walk in that same place that you and I are walking today. That door has been opened. And that is the beginning of his work. That work that he established there is to set his people at liberty to minister to all of these needs. We struggle. And no doubt there's some purpose in that. As we are walking this road, we know what it is to be confronted with these circumstances ourselves, to have to deal with some of these issues ourselves. But he has come, and his word has gone forth there, that he has come to break these bondages, to set at liberty those who are bound, to preach the day of deliverance to everyone who comes to him. That is the pathway. That is his word. That is the way that we are walking, not just for this gathering here, but to every nation, every man, every woman, to a complete work. Praise God. Praise God. And we are participants in that. And in Matthew, this is after the resurrection again, in Matthew 28. And this is kind of where a change. Let me just back up here a little bit. It says in Luke 12 and 50, where Jesus was speaking, he said, "I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished." And that was before, just before he was about to go to the cross. And I have read that passage a number of times before, and I guess not thinking so much about it, but just taking it to mean that, you know, he was about to go through this ordeal where he would be put to death for the sins of the earth, and how focused he was on that until it was over. But just rereading that again recently, that isn't really what it says. Just let me read it for you again. "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" I looked up the word "straitened" in the dictionary, and it says to confine within narrow limits. And you never think of Jesus as being that way, but that's what he was saying. He was not looking at the process of going through the crucifixion. He was looking past that. He was saying, "I am today confined until I have been, and until I have gone through that experience. And once I have gone through that experience, the door is open for the whole body to come together and walk with him in that authority and share with him in that ministry." And it was immediately after that. It just seemed like immediately after the crucifixion, that work began. It was immediately after that, on the road to Emmaus, he walked with his disciples and he revealed to them what had just taken place. And he said, "You go to Jerusalem and you wait there until you are endowed with power, until that power of the Spirit rests upon you, because there is a work to be done." Amen? There is a work to be done. And again then in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world.'" And he sent them out to do that work. And that work is in progress today. Praise God. He is working on that. When we visit, and you know, this has been transpiring over the years. You know, from a human perspective, we like to think that things will just kind of go one, two, three, and they're done. But in the perspective of the Spirit, it's a great work that encompasses every corner and every part. And over the years that have followed from that time, there has been that work going on. But it is as real and as true as anything that we have experienced so far. As we go and visit some of these places, you see the work of the Spirit working right there. And that work drawing in and doing that work of the Spirit of bringing that body together. And he spoke to the disciples about being endued with power, and the work, the ministry of the Spirit is a ministry with authority. For every member of the body that is here, we may not feel in ourselves like we have much authority. But let me tell you this. If you submit to the leading of the Spirit and let Him, if you abide in that place where the Spirit of the Lord can speak to your heart and fill your heart with His presence, and commune with Him and let your heart be filled with that. If you drink from that fountain of living water and you do what He prompts you to do, there is no power on earth that can prevent that from taking place. When you do the work that the Lord has given you to do, you might stand in the local church and prophesy. And I'll tell you, the local church is built up and it is edified and it is strengthened by the word of the Lord that flows forth from that. As you stand in the place that the Lord has set you and you let the anointing of the Spirit guide your steps, it will fulfill the work and the purpose that He has to fulfill. There is not a power on earth that can stand before the moving of the Spirit to do that work. It is with power and authority. It's easy for us to read about the disciples after the resurrection, the ministry. You can see how that transpired and how they were able to minister and the works that were done. We stand in that hour today. That work is where we stand today, to do those things with the anointing of the Spirit. That anointing is given for that purpose. It has nothing to do, and I think that was mentioned here this morning, it has nothing to do how on our feelings, how strong or how weak or how we evaluate our circumstances. It has everything to do with us yielding to the leading of His Spirit in our life. In that place, under His guidance, we are fulfilling His very purpose in this hour that we walk. He can speak with authority. When His word goes forth, it is with authority because He knows that He has set the beginning and He has set the end and He has set the road in between, and nothing can prevent it from taking place. It remains for us, you know, I think, to perhaps take a step back and see where we are in this process. Perhaps we are, as children, growing up in the house of the Lord. And you can't help but feel, even in this camp meeting, as the Lord has been speaking to us and moving among us, that our place in our walk, we may still be immature, but we are not infants. We are not back in infancy. There is a responsibility of growing up and maturing that is resting upon us today. To hear His word, to drink of His Spirit, and to do His work. There is a responsibility in that as we come together and do that he has set before us. We are on that road. We are walking that road. We know what it is to drink of the Spirit. We know what it is. We recognize His voice. We know where we fit in the body. We know what it is to exercise the gift of the Spirit. We are not, those things are not unknown to us. We have exercised those things, and we are growing to maturity on that road and on that pathway. And you know, in our home, and I won't give you a grandchild story, but we have raised our families and we know what it's like. They walk imperfectly. A child walks imperfectly. But you know, I remember this. I remember looking at my children when they were young and being pleased with them, being happy with them. Yeah. I knew that they were not able to do the work of an adult, but I knew that they were on the road to adulthood. What they were doing and what they were learning was important. It fit into the place where they were. And they, in their own minds and in their own thoughts, I'm sure thought that they were far beyond where they actually were. I can remember working on stuff with my son, and he always had an interest in mechanical things. And he would come in, you know, his hands and face covered with grease and, you know, whatever from working on stuff, maybe working on something on the car or something. And in his mind, he was doing the same job. And in part, it was true. The reality was he was in the right place and he was walking in the right direction. And those things that he would that he was doing then, there would come a maturity and a competence in that. And that is the road that we are on today. There is nothing, I don't know the right word to say here, but there is nothing trivial about it. There's nothing simplistic about it. There's nothing that is uncertain about it or in any way kind of unstable. It is rock solid. It is heading on the course. It is coming together. It is fitting into its place. Members are coming into their place in his body. It is according to the pattern. It is according to his purpose. It is the fulfillment of his word. I have read the scriptures, and as I'm sure you have too, and I have said, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus was among us today doing that work? That would be the perfect scenario. It would be perfect. You know, heal us, everyone. The reason that he isn't is because he has a greater purpose. He wants you to be a participant in that work. He wants you to take your place that was ordained from the very beginning. So he went through that experience. And as he stood there, looking at that experience that was about to happen, he had walked with his disciples. They had seen it in operation. They had seen that authority at work in operation among them. Seemingly unlimited authority, where he could go to the dead and say, "Arise." And there was nothing that could withhold that from taking place. They had seen it in operation, and he stood there in that experience, and he looked at what was before him, and he said, "How straitened I am, how constrained I am, until I have passed through that and opened the door for the full scope of the work of the Spirit of the Lord, so that you and I can stand in our place. We can do the work that is before us to do as his corporate body." That is the hour, and that is the place where we stand today. Where we walk today is so crucial and so vital and so important. We still do a lot of, I still do a lot of foolish things that from a level of maturity will one day not likely have a place. My son still gets covered with grease, but he knows what he's doing. He gets paid to do it now. He knows the work. And we are coming to that place of maturity where we know the work. And we will fit into that place. He has taken that ministry and he has divided over a multitude. What a miracle. What an absolute miracle. What a miracle of love that he would do that for us. That he would walk through that experience so that we could be participants in that. But we look across the diversity here this morning of ministry, and I'll tell you, it's an absolute miracle. We fit together like the pieces of an engine. Components just coming together and fitting perfectly together, operating for one purpose and operating in unity and harmony. Absolute miracle. And we are participants in that this morning because it is his work. Praise God. I have felt this morning, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, that he has taken it up a level. He has taken it up a level. He is not always going to be happy with me walking as a child. He's not always going to be happy with that. He is going to be looking for a more steadfast walk. You know, Jesus never deviated from his Father's will, no matter what. He never deviated from that. And our road of maturity is coming like that, where we just come together and we walk in that unity. Tremendous hour that we are in. And in Acts 2:1-2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were all with one accord in one place, suddenly there came the sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind and filled the house where they were sitting. And you know that story. You know, it's not a story. You know that account. The thing that just came to mind about that was, you know, that was an event in history, but that has not ended. It is still current. That outpouring of his Spirit is still current. We are still drinking today of that outpouring of his Spirit. That is a current experience. And it is something like, I think perhaps it has been referred to in this camp, but it is something, I don't know if this is a very good comparison or not, but it's kind of like education. Okay, here's one grandchild story. My 5-year-old grandson can now count to 20. He's a genius. What can I say? But he can now count to 20. That ability will never come to an end. That will always be useful. That will always fit in to his life. That door has been opened and it will never come to an end. The things and the experiences that the Spirit of the Lord brings to us just open the scope, just open the door a little further. They will never come to an end. The unity that we feel today is wonderful, but that will not end there. It is not kind of complete now. It will grow and increase until there is absolutely no disunity whatsoever. You know the unity that he is bringing us unto? You know the place? He is bringing us into the same unity that he has with his own Father. Amen. That is incomprehensible, that we would come into the unity of the Father and the Son and the Spirit with no division at all. We would walk as one. How can that be possible? It has been set in motion from the very outset. And we are on the road to the completion of that. That will never come to an end. It will come into its fullness. He has opened the door. When he passed through that experience, he opened the door. That door was opened. It will never be closed. It remains for us to walk true to our calling. We need the Spirit of the Lord in our life every day, every hour of every day. We need to drink from living waters in our personal walk every day. We need to be fed by the bread of life so that we can walk the road, so that we can do the work, so that we can find our place in the body. We need the ministry of every part. You might come when we gather together Sunday mornings and say, well, you know, I don't feel like I have a lot this morning. I'll tell you what, we are dependent. We are absolutely dependent on what the Lord has given you. He has given you something that He has not given to me. And we are dependent on that. When we partake of that, we are built up, we are strengthened, we are edified. We cannot run this race. We cannot run this race on our human will or our human desire. We have to partake of the bread of life to run the course that is before us, to enter into that. We need to be strengthened and edified by the other members of the body as we come together into that place. We need every part. Praise God. You know, in an automobile engine, I'm no expert in this area either. I know there's brethren here that could put an engine together in their sleep. But I'll tell you, every part of that is important. You cannot go in there and say, well, we don't need piston rings. They're a lot of effort. It won't run. Every part, every component is absolutely necessary. You are absolutely necessary. Your place is absolutely necessary. And He holds you. He holds me. He holds me accountable. And we will be chastened. Richard Holt will get chastened. Because it's necessary to learn to walk. And by those things, you find your place and you walk in your place where he is appointed. Praise God. Jesus said this in John 5 and 30. He said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. I know we probably all read that scripture many times, and I certainly have, but that just stood out. I sort of had a mental picture of the way Jesus would have ministered amongst, you know what you read in the scriptures, the way that he would have ministered amongst the people at that time. And I have this mental picture of him just traveling from place to place with his disciples, and whatever came along, he could just do. Whatever circumstances he was faced with, he could just do. All the gifts of the Spirit were there. All the fullness of the anointing of the Spirit was there. So whatever came his way, he would just do it. What he says of himself, said, of my own self, I can do nothing. What I hear, I do. That is where we stand today. Of our own selves, we can do nothing. It is what we hear, what the Spirit of the Lord places within our heart to do. When He speaks, then we do. We are learning to walk with Him and do His bidding. As he was standing there, when I read that, I said, you know, and I don't know how to say this any other way, but when I read that, I thought, that's not much different than I am. That's not much different. He couldn't of himself do anything. He had to be led of his Father. His Father had to put into his heart what he was being asked to do, what he was being directed to do. And in that place, all of the authority behind the word of his Father was there, that nothing could resist it. When his Father sent him to Lazarus to raise him from the dead, he was just carrying out his Father's will. That is where we walk. That is our place in his body, to be in the place where he can speak to us and we do according to his will. That's where his authority lies. Not in me running around and saying, well, I think I'm going to go there and I'm going to evangelize this area. There is no hope in that. There is no hope in that. It is for me to wait upon the Spirit of the Lord. Listen to what he says through the members of the body. Let him speak to my heart. and let me yield to his will and be obedient. And that doesn't matter if I feel very competent or not. Chances are we won't feel very competent. We'll be pretty intimidated by the things that are before us. But that is where his authority lies. Praise God. I just read this in John 15, 5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. And I was reading also, and I'm sure you have been taught along this line about the coming together of the body of Christ. And I was reading in Ezekiel 37, and I'll just read this part of it for you. But it was the scripture where the Lord sent Ezekiel out to witness the valley of dry bones. And the Lord said to him, God said to him, you know, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And as he looked there on that circumstance, this valley, and it was littered with human remains that were disconnected from one another, these dry bones, not even any flesh on them, just a scattering of bones. And the Lord said to him, can these live? And he said, of course, Lord, you know. But that is a picture of the coming together of the body of Christ. He told Ezekiel, you prophesy to those bones. You prophesy. That's a hopeless situation. That's an absolutely humanly hopeless situation. And he spoke to those dry bones, and this is what he had them prophesy. So I prophesied. I'm sure his first inclination would be to say, no, I don't think there's much chance that these bones are going to live. But he had walked long enough that he just did what he was asked to do. And he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, oh no, I'm sorry, I just got one verse ahead here. Ezekiel 37:4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's what he prophesied. And I don't think he was saying to these dry bones, you dry bones, listen to what the Lord has to say. I think it was more like the creative word, that when you read about creation, he looked on the darkness and he said, let there be light, and there was light. He looked upon these dry bones that was absolutely hopeless, and he commanded them to hear so that they could hear the word of the Lord. He commanded these bones to be able to receive the word of the Lord. And you know, when you are sent to places that look absolutely hopeless and you speak the word of the Lord, there will be those that are able to receive no matter what their circumstances. It will touch their heart no matter where the Lord has found them. And they will hear the word of the Lord and they will respond to it. And when you read that prophecy, when you read what happened as a result of that prophecy, of them hearing the word of the Lord, bones began to come together. That chaos and that disorder and that absolute hopelessness began to change because they could hear the word of the Lord. And they responded to that. And they began to come together, bone to its bone. And flesh began to cover those bones until it came to the place where they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And that is the road, and that is the pathway. Not just for us who are in this room. That is the message that you carry. You speak the word of the Lord as he places it in your heart. And those dry bones will live because he has commanded it to be so. He is bringing together in this hour a body that will be joined in the unity of the Spirit with the head, with his Father, and they will work and they will walk in absolute harmony as one. They will minister the word of life. Strongholds will be broken. Walls will be broken down. Life will flow. Order will come. The word of the Lord will be taught and it will be received. We will walk in the order of the kingdom. His kingdom will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The vision of Daniel will come to its fullness. There is no power on earth that can prevent those things coming to pass. We have a choice. We have a place. We have an opportunity to walk in the place, to hear his voice, to submit to his word, to let the Spirit of the Lord guide our steps and fit into our place in the body of Christ. That place that he has ordained for us, where we absolutely belong. My thumb cannot take the place of my nose or any other part. It has been ordained that it would be there, and in that place is where it belongs and where it can function under the direction of the head. We are being fitted together for a tremendous purpose. Jesus himself said, "How straitened I am until this be accomplished." It is in the process. That door stands open before us today. It is open before us. The enemy will rage. We have already sung the songs of victory. That victory is not in doubt. It remains for us to go in and possess it. Praise God. Praise God. I think we'll just stop there. If there's any announcements, maybe you can make them. Praise God.
This is an announcement for the dining hall. It's Saskatchewan's Day to bless and be blessed by helping out in the dining hall. So if you're from Saskatchewan or you just wish you were, we'd love to have you help out for the lunch and supper meals. Thanks.
Children, today, preschool children will meet at 3:30 downstairs in the cloud room. And the school-age children, that's ages 6 to 12, will meet upstairs.